couple weeks back when we hosted Tucson, I was asked by the team to fill in for the public address announcer who was on vacation. Gary McCoy, public address announcer for the Red Wolves, does a fantastic job. They needed someone to fill in, so I did. And the best thing about all of it was as soon as Juan Galindrez headed in that goal, I got to cause the sparkles.
You got to cause the sparkles? What does that even mean?
So there's a button on there for the lights. Lights are all LED functional, and there's a button labeled sparkle. So when they score, especially after dark, you know, they cause the lights to all flash and everything. That was me, Mr. Sparkle.
Soccer chat with two T's, because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Hey, yeah, I got to tell you something really quick. My nickname at work, I kid you not, is Sparkles. So I might have to share that story at work.
This so fits with the outtakes at the end of the show. Make sure you listen for those outtakes, guys, because they are worth every moment. All right, so it's been a minute, Mr. Sparkle.
Yes.
It actually hasn't been a minute since we recorded. It's just been a minute since we released. You're welcome. This one will be releasing. It's released on Thursday, and we're recording this on Wednesday. We've got a game coming up on Saturday, and so I've said most of the days of the week at this point. What are you guys feeling about the team? We're 16 games in. Where you at?
There is a lot of work to do. I have faith in a lot of the individual talent. And I think the thing that we all talk about that we want to see is consistency week to week in those guys and their execution and the talent and the coaching staff having them in the right mindset when those games start. So it's been a tough first half of the season. And they talk a lot about wanting to make sure they're peaking towards the end. Well, now's the time. Let's do like the old Alpine hiker on Price is Right and head up the hill.
My take is what worked last year doesn't necessarily work this year. And League One, and this is kind of the credit for League One, is there's a lot going on. The teams are moving. The teams are changing. Tactics are changing. They're paying attention. The talent pool, I think, is getting richer. And so the things that maybe would help us squeak by with a win last year isn't enough. So we have to constantly raise up that game. And so we're still waiting for some things to gel that should have gelled a few months ago.
So there's a couple things you look at when you look at this team. First off, I don't know what it is about League One and how terrible they are at scheduling, but you've got a spread from 17 matches played all the way to 13 matches played. Now, granted, Union Omaha did have that run in the Open Cup, but that's not why they've only played 13 matches. There were no rescheduled games. This is legitimately just their schedule. And it's stupid that there's a four-game difference this far into the season. So you really have to look at points per game. We're out of the playoffs right now, guys. We are currently sitting seventh in points per game. And I think justifiably so. I don't look at this and say, we've played better than that and we should be higher. We're right where we should be as far as I'm concerned. And that pains me to say because the teams above us are teams like Madison and Central Valley Fuego and Tormenta. Teams that I do not believe talent-wise on individual talent should be above us. So my question is this more related to our approach to the games or is it more related to the impact of significant injuries on this team?
Interesting. I feel like the injuries made a huge impact, and I think you saw that in the first half Saturday against North Carolina, Daniel Navarro's first start. I think Carlos Avilés had probably his best game. He came up with a lot of really good saves, but there have been times where I have wanted more from him, and I think the preseason injury to Tim Miller, who was going to be our number one starting goalkeeper, Tim Murray, not Tim Miller. My apologies, Tim. Had it, I think it made a big difference on that. I think maybe if we had Tim Trelk, if we had Alex Mangles, there are some games where we would be, we would have seen saves that would have saved games in certain situations that we weren't seeing. Carlos had a great game Saturday.
Yeah,
I hope he continues that run. Having Danny back, having Timmy Mell made player of the week, not player of the week, team of the week, fully deserved, with a couple of great sliding tackles in that first half. And then you saw things start to get pretty nervy when we pulled Daniel Navarro off around the 60th minute. So I think injuries can do have a lot to do with it.
And yet I'm going to come and look at approach because we have some players that maybe weren't planned to be starters, but we've had several players, especially in the back, who should be able to slot in, and yet we just leave all these gaping holes. And that is something that needs work. And so, yeah, there's injuries, but it's not like we have an empty bench. We do have a bench. And we've got some players that were good enough to get on the team who need to step up. Part of it's the player, but also part of it is I'm not sure what's going on, especially defensively, what's going on preparation.
So I'm gonna lean more, and this may surprise you a little bit. I'm actually gonna lean more towards it's injury based. I think Navarro's impact.
Hanging to dry. That's all right.
Well, Navarro's impact in that first half, first off, no one saw that coming, right? Like, when he was in the starting lineup, I remember going, wait, what? He hasn't even been on the bench. And he got 60 minutes in, 60 quality minutes, but it was more of the calming presence that he created on that back line that gives me a little bit more belief that our coach, and I think it could be argued he didn't make the adjustments that were necessary based off the personnel that he had available to him. We should have been playing five at the back for the last few weeks, and we weren't, because he had his system. And I think a lot of that has to do with it's a long season and six teams get into the playoffs, right? And he may have just wanted to have, hey, this is how we're doing it. We're getting Navarro back. He knew we were getting him back in July, late July, early August, and he wanted to have everyone used to their positions, is what I'm hopeful of. The idea of having Mel and Cordona and Navarro and back there makes me a lot more comfortable. Navarro just completely flips that for me. And Timmy Mell, I mean, he wasn't here a few weeks ago, right? Like last time we recorded, he wasn't here. I think those two players are pretty significant additions to that back line. I also think we don't talk enough about the fact that we've had some pretty significant injuries on offense that has forced Galindres, who has done okay. I mean, he's scored a lot of goals, but a lot of those have been from the spot, have been just kind of tap. Like I just have, it's not like he's been like this amazing presence, right? I still think he's a better fit as a second half spark than he is as a starter. And I don't think we've had that option because we still to this day are missing former MLS DP up top who, when he was playing, looked pretty substantial in my opinion.
Yeah. David Teixeira had the injury. He had two goals the week prior to that injury when he had to come out in the first half. And it's led them to sign another forward. They signed Alex Teixeira, who made an appearance in the game this weekend. I thought he did okay. He didn't have a ton of time. But I think you have kind of a point there. I think Galindres could do a better job choosing his runs a lot of times for the balls that are getting crossed in. And I would say, to give Jeff some credit for his argument, I think sometimes we can have a little bit of a stale approach, especially offensively. We want to isolate our wingers out wide. And so the teams know if we can get four guys in the box with their back to the goal, then the ball is going to get out wide. Their player's going to try to make a couple cuts. Maybe we get lucky and poke the ball away, or we'll be able to deal with the cross that comes in. and Galindrez and the midfielders are not getting in the box into positions, you know, they're not getting in front of those defenders to put the finish on the goal. Sometimes I think part of that is because when the ball gets out wide with Ray, with Rafa, with Mo, used to happen with Marky and Ricky last year, as we started kind of declining towards the end of the year, that ball would get wide and they would want to beat a guy six times before they cross the ball.
Yeah.
You look at Rafa's goal this last Saturday that I've been pretty hyperbolic in my praise, talked about wanting to take it to prom or take it to Tony's for a nice chicken Alfredo pasta. It was just the long ball from Carrera, you know, the diagonal ball that got out to him, and Rafa made one move. He got the ball and he went straight at the defender. He made one move to get to the center and he whipped that thing into the far post. And if we can get the ball moving quick like that, I think there's a lot more of an opportunity. But I think sometimes we get a little stuck in trying to force the ball down the wings and work it up gradually. And it allows defenses to pack in against us. And when they have a lead, I mean, League One, I'm sorry to say, it seems like there's a lot of negative play. So they, most of these teams, it's let's get a lead and then we'll spend the rest of the game laying on top of the ball while the referee bails us out because he wants everyone to see how great a referee he is by blowing the whistle 75 times.
All right. I want to come back to how we've managed the game insofar as I agree that Timmy Mayle has been fantastic. A great, great signing. And yes, Navarro, from right there, you could tell a huge difference. But why did it take so many months, knowing we were suffering so much in center back, to get another center back? If we were either plagued with injuries or we had players that just weren't able to fill that role, Jason Ramos left a massive gap. So why did it take so many months for us to sign another center back when we knew we could see from the beginning of the season that's one of our biggest weakness, that and the problems we've had with goalkeeper?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, only Aaron Lombardi has played every match in the back, right? So we've had some movement there, obviously. I think, you know, DJ Benton has been leaned on more than expected, I think is a fair statement. I think Jorge Luna has been a bit of a disappointment to the coach, to be honest with you. I think he expected Luna to do better than he has. And so I think he put a lot on Luna, and I think you've seen Luna's time go down as Mel has come in, right? And I think that's part of it, is that some of the expectations of who would step up haven't completed like they expected them to. But I also think a big part is it's a long season and six teams get in the playoffs. Like, I really don't think it's more than that. You've got a limited budget in League One. That's just a fact. And he knew he was going to be getting his player back halfway through the season. And he looked at it and said, we can make the playoffs with this team. And I think he also thought, I can win games 4-3. I can win games 5-4, like shootout type games, because of the offense, and the offense hasn't done its part. It's a really interesting thing to go and look at matches played and minutes played. You know, obviously, Carrera Garcia missed the match because of a red card, right? Or else he would have been in every match. But only two players have played every match, Aaron Lombardi and Rafa Mensigan. That's not going to give you a ton of confidence. Even going past that, there's a lot of players that when we were going to the season, we expected to be significant parts of this team. Now, you've already, you know, mentioned, you know, Tim, but, you know, Tor Saunders was really brought in to be the two. When we brought him in, the expectation was Tor was going to step up and be the number one once he went down, right? Like, and he's played in two games. You know, David Teixeira's played in six. Wally's played in eight. Pedro Hernandez has played in eight. Paez has played in nine and not a lot of minutes. There's a lot of guys that we were told were going to be significant parts of this team that aren't playing a ton. I mean, Andres Hernandez was supposed to be a pretty substantial signing. He's played in 12 matches, but he's only played 446 minutes. That's pretty substantial lack of time for someone who we thought was going to be really important. And I'm wondering how much of this is other injuries and other fitness issues that they're not talking about. It's one of the frustrating things about being a League One fan is you don't really get a true injury report, right? Like nothing has come out about David Teixeira being injured. We just know he is, right? Like nothing official is out there that he's injured. When Wally was down, there was nothing official about him being injured. My understanding is Paez was injured for a little while there and nothing was about it. Like, so I think there's a lot more injuries than we realize that has affected this. I don't think Brian Bennett, as much as I like him as a guy, as a person, was ever meant to be dependent upon. I don't think Mo Espinoza was ever meant to be dependent upon. He's been an amazing addition, right? But that was never the plan. And I tend at least to not give enough credit to the coach that he's worked his way through a lot of this. I don't know how much is injury and how much is players weren't what we expected. I think a lot more was injury than we're hearing. I think there's a lot of muscle injury. This has been a hot and humid season for these guys. And, you know, I think there's legitimately, like, when a guy goes down in the first half with a cramping issue or with a pulled muscle, that's not time killing. That's legitimately, like, it's 95 degrees, feels like 105. It's at 8 o'clock. And if you're playing in Greenville or in Chattanooga or in Statesboro, it's going to affect you. And I think that it has affected these players.
Yeah. And I think when you look at the injuries and managing those injuries, you talked about it being a long season, Adam. And I think they have tried to be a lot more intentional this year when they're bringing guys back to, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And so this guy's going to come and we're going to, you know, we're going to give him 10 minutes. And then the next week, maybe we're going to up it to 20. And then maybe we're going to let him play a whole second half or something, you know, large like that. And so here you're seeing a lot of those guys get that time off the bench, work in practice to get themselves really humming because they know it's a long season and six teams get in the playoffs. And so now they're at the point where they're hopefully going to be rounding into shape. And I think they're going to have a really good test of this to see whether or not they've turned the corner. They're going to be playing Northern Colorado this Saturday. After that, the next Saturday, they go on the road to Omaha. They then continue west on the road to Fresno for another game against Central Valley Fuego on Wednesday. And then they have to come home and play Saturday at home against Greenville Triumph. And I think that's a make or break three games for the season for this team. Can you get us 5 points out of that? And maybe things start to turn around and you're building momentum and you're looking confident? Or do you have your third three-game losing streak and Soccer Chat mysteriously goes away for another month and a half?
Well, and I think the other side associated with what you're bringing up is Greenville also has a long break between that game. Like they don't have
of course,
a midweek
they get
game.
two weeks off. The league is probably going to pay for them to go to the Bahamas.
Central Valley is playing Charlotte Independence, but they play them on Friday, right? So they get an extra day of rest before that. They come home. And then they have back-to-back home games where they play Union Omaha after that. So we're going to be the tired team in these games, but we need to be the team that comes. Like this game on Saturday is huge. We get that win. We go to the baseball stadium. Luckily, you don't have to run nearly as much there. So hopefully we'll get some rest from
three
that.
Three steps and you're in the attacking third.
Yeah. I think we match up really well with Central Valley. I worry about the Omaha and the Greenville game because, as I mentioned earlier, you know they're 1-2 in points per game, and they've been 1-2 in points per game for 2.5 years now, right? Like, there's a reason why, you know, if you look at points per game, Greenville is sitting there at 1.82. That's a really good points per game, right? Like that's their goal differential is +8. Union Omaha has played four less games than them. They're sitting only a point ahead of us, but they've played three less games than us, and they're at 1.62. Those are two very strong points per game numbers. There's currently four teams averaging more than 1.5 points per game, and we play them, all four of those teams, a lot. Like Greenville, Omaha, Richmond, and Madison are on our schedule in these last 14 games. Omaha's on there twice. I think, if I remember correctly, Ford's on there at least once. Greenville, I think, is only on there once, but you know, that's four of the 14 games are versus the top 4 points per game thing. So you can look at that two ways. We control making sure those teams don't get points ahead of us, or we've got some hard games ahead of us. We don't have a ton of games versus your Tucson's and North Carolina's left.
Not that the games against Tucson do us much good.
Right. I mean, Tucson is, yeah, I mean, we lost the game to Tucson. Tucson can thank us for one of their three victories on the season.
Two of them.
Two of their three victories. Like, if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't even be winning, is what we're getting to. Yeah, below us on points per game, Northern Colorado, North Carolina, Charlotte, and FC Tucson. We have a positive goal differential thanks to Charlotte, right? Without that game, it's a negative goal differential, right? Like, we won that game 7-1, we're a plus 5. Oh, we're negative 1 in the other 15 games. And that's more what I'm focused on is you take out that one blowout and you take out the 4-1 blowout versus, you know, who we're playing this weekend. That's an ugly goal differential. You know, that's, you know, granted, I'm taking away 9 goals, but, you know, negative 4 goal differential out of 14 games is pretty substantial. And that says more about our team, I think, than the true goal differential that's showing on the table. So, all right. So I've been super negative. We kind of met beforehand about some things that we might want to discuss or that we might have questions on. And Alex, I'm going to turn it a little bit. We'll come back to our team to prepare or to give a preview of this weekend's game. But you asked a question I think is really an interesting one, because a trade happened this last week between the Richmond Kickers and the team we're playing this weekend. Can you tell us a little bit about what the trade was and what your thoughts on that type of trade is and the value?
So Ethan Vanacore Decker, who plays with Northern Colorado, was one of the big signings that they made coming from Union Omaha, where he had featured. You would say he was one of those top players along with Greg Hurst for Union Omaha the first 2 years that they were there, helped them win a championship, was in the running for MVP, and he was transferred from Northern Colorado to Richmond Kickers this week, the announcement was made, for an international roster spot. So League One teams are allowed, I want to say 8, but I don't know the exact number. There are a certain number of what are termed international players. Think of people who are born out of the country and have played out of the country. Jorge Pais grew up in South America, was playing in Venezuela. Andres Hernandez. These are the international players. So a guy like El Tanque, right? Juan Galindres, born in Colombia, played most of his career outside the U.S. A guy like Carrera Garcia went to college in the U.S. Maybe he's of Mexican origin. He played some in Mexican professional leagues. But by virtue of growing up in Southern California and being in college, he was able to be an American roster spot. Some Richard Dixon, when he was with us the very first season, I believe he had a green card. With that green card, he was able to not be one of the international roster spots, like Irishman Stephen Beatty was an international roster spot. Anyway, it seems to me that if Ethan Vanacore Decker is available for an international roster spot, we might be able to make an offer for Leo Falla to back up our back line for, say, a $250 gift card to Express so that Eamon Zide can go buy some more cable knit sweaters.
Those are
joking aside, does an international spot for someone who's probably a top 20, maybe even a top 10 player in the league, doesn't that seem a little inexpensive? Go.
Not this year.
I think it's really odd because that is, when I saw that, my initial thought was Richmond is the last team that needs him, because Richmond right now is a serious threat, and now they've become an even more serious threat. And I was wondering, what in the world are they thinking about giving up this top player, and for what? Yeah, it's a head scratcher for me. I think
he lost his starting role.
I know, but he's got abilities, he's got talent, and with the right program, I think he he's going to shine again. Because he's got quality, but if he's in a program like what they've got at Richmond, I think he's going to rise back up.
So going back to so looking over his last seven games, which I think is a pretty good snapshot, right? He started one of those, which is the most recent game on the 13th, and played 59 minutes. Outside of that, he did not start. These are the minutes he's played. 32, 19, 45, 10, 3, 20, and 59. This is not a guy who's playing a lot of minutes. He's not the player he was 2 years ago. Now, some could argue it's because he's not being coached by a coach, but by a male model. I might make that argument. And I think he's going to go
to
a much...
You forgot to do the air quotes when you said he was coaching.
Yeah. I think he's going to be going to a much better situation, and I hate that he's going to Richmond. I would love for them to transfer him to like Tucson or somewhere like that, where I don't really have to worry about him being who we have to face in the first round of the playoffs, assuming we make it as a 5 or 6 seed and they make it as a 3 or 4, right? I don't want to play them with him because I think he does still have something left for the occasional goal. But I don't think it's too much if you're talking about an international spot, depending on what they use the international spot for, right? So if they're the assumption must be, and if you look at a lot of the players that they announced and that are on their team, they are heavy international. There must be someone they've got their eye on that they think takes them to a place where a bench player doesn't. And I think that's what we have to focus on. Current state for them, he's a bench player. And if they can trade a bench player that's not being super impactful, that has one goal on the season, that has zero assists on the season, for someone who can be impactful, if they already got their eye on Stephen Beattie, I mean someone else, then I think that that's reasonable for them to do. If it was the beginning of the season, maybe not. Maybe trading for an international spot for that seems a bit like you're giving up way more than you or way little less than you. I don't know. It just feels to me like this is equal. Like it feels for both. Assuming they have a reason for wanting it. If they already have someone in mind, it may be worth it to give up a bench player for an international spot. If I'm Richmond, that's a no-brainer. If I just got an international spot just sitting there not being used, it's a no-brainer. I worry a little bit on the other direction. Like, are they just helping doing Richmond a solid? Are they doing a solid for Ethan Vandercourt, or do they have someone picked out? All right, so let's turn our attention to this weekend, to the cable sweaters. What is your? We'll start with Wolfman. What is your expectation on this upcoming weekend, on sweater or no sweater, for Coach Zide?
I think he's going to wear sweater out of spite, and I think that Coach Jimmy is going to go back. To the white dress shirt with the thin tie. That is his superpower. I think he recognizes that. And I think that's what we're going to face. And,
so, Jeff, I don't know if you know. Was he wearing the white? He was wearing the white shirt and the thin tie last Saturday, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that he's definitely, yeah. He's far too superstitious.
He can never wash it. He has to.
So he is going to be wearing that again. Yes. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Regardless of how ridiculously hot it's supposed to be on Saturday. And it's supposed to be pretty hot, isn't it? Like, I feel like it's supposed to be mid-90s or something
it's
like that.
End
yeah,
it's July in Chattanooga.
96.
It's quote-unquote hot. It's hot.
96 is the high with 71% humidity. That's got to suck. Yeah,
sorry, I totally derailed you, Jeff. Go ahead with your thoughts.
No, it was a fashion question, and that's about as far as I went. So I think I've milked that one as much as I can.
What
I
about
no
for the
sweater.
Actual... No sweater.
I say yeah. Very trendy V-neck T-shirt.
Wow, okay.
Maybe so even like a little bit small to show off those biceps, those beefy arms for the ladies.
There you go.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right, so let's turn to the game, Mr. Sparkle. What are your expectations? Will we be seeing us bringing to them our game, or will they be bringing their style to us, and we will be on our back foot?
So since we don't play in a hay field like that stadium at Northern Colorado that they played in, I feel like we are going to be able to dictate our game. If you think back to the first match when they came out here, they got a lucky long ball over the top that their forward was able to finish. And I think neither Timmy Mell nor Daniel Navarro were involved in that situation. I think those two are going to be able to sniff those out and shut them down. I think Carlos is showing some growth. He's showing a little more eagerness to get off his line in those sorts of situations. I think we're going to be able to handle this game. I think we can establish what we want to do offensively with possession, work the ball, and hopefully get it into the box where people can take advantage.
I think if Timmy, who's playing fantastic, and if we continue to have a healthy Navarro, that solves so many issues. Added to that, if Carlos continues to grow, we have to remember that last year Trilk didn't come out of the box swinging. It took him a while to even earn his spot. And by the end of the season, Tim Trilk was Superman, flying everywhere. But there were lots of parts of that early part of the season he had to earn that, and his game grew. So I'm hoping that happens with Carlos. So if that happens, if we contain things in the back, hopefully with Timmy and with Daniel and then Carlos, if they play like they played last week, I think it's going to be a blowout.
Carlos is a Marvel guy. He is he's Spider-Man. So
yeah. So Thomas Olsen, their starting goalkeeper, got a red card for coming off his line twice on penalty kick, and will not be in this game, is my understanding, right? Once you get a red card, you're not in the next game, right?
Right.
He has started pretty much all their games of late.
Do you have to come off a line without any VAR to be called for that and given a red card? That's
it's USL League One, so he probably didn't even come off the line. That said, that means that back in the goal is going to be Johan Penanaradanda. I can never say it right, and I feel bad about that. But
why do you mean never? This is the first time you've ever said it.
No, I tried to say it to someone else, and I did it poorly there too.
It comes up in conversation all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
What's interesting about him is, he started five games for them and one win, three draws and a loss. His one loss was to Richmond, but he only gave up one goal except for the loss to Richmond, where he gave up three. In the other three of the other four, he had a clean sheet versus Union Omaha. I actually think he's a better keeper than the starter, and it actually will play against us. But do you think there's any impact to the fact that a guy who has not started a game since mid-June has been benched for another player is now getting the start for them? Does that have any impact to this game?
Definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's ask Zach Steffens what he thinks about that sort of thing.
I was going to say we could ask Tor.
Too soon.
But it might be a little too soon. And I am a big Tor fan, but it did not go well for him when he got the start after not getting it for quite a while. I'm hopeful that that's what happens in this. He actually had a couple pretty good saves and was nominated for Save of the Week. Once again, talking about Johan in the 25 minutes once they came back. So, he did look good, but we'll see. All right, so let's get the predictions. Let's start with you, Jeff. What is your score prediction for this game?
Well, you mentioned earlier about that we felt that Juan Galindrez wasn't quite as potent as he could be. But the thing about Juan this year is he's a poacher, and he finds himself in opportunities, and he's willing to take those opportunities. When our team is on, they are on, especially for goals. When we're on, we could do amazing goals, and we take over goals of the week. Rafa is on fire, And if Rafa doesn't score, he gets it to Tanky, who scores. Mo has been a surprise. If we have a healthy Ray Ortiz, you've got all these opportunities. Not even mentioning Carrera Garcia, Jimmy Villalobos. We've got so many options that when we're good, we're very good. And so I think we're on a good momentum. This past game, I think we're in a good mood. I think we're playing a weaker team. I think we're going to take advantage of it. We're going to make them pay. I think it's going to be a 3-0 Red Wolves win.
I am apprehensive, given our record, to say we're going to come away with a clean sheet. I think it's possible, but it's hard for me to predict that. I would love to see my boy, Jimmy Villalobos, get back on the board. It's been a while. I think he finds a way to slip in the box and bury one of these crosses that we've been talking about from Mo or from Ray. And I like your idea of El Tanque maybe pushing one in as Rafa gets down to the end line and just sends one scooting across the face of goal. And I'm going to say a 2-1 gritty, nervy, sweated out on a steamy night victory.
All right. Well, you guys are both wrong. So we never draw. Like, we have 2 draws in the season. We have 8 losses, 6 wins. And we're not going to draw here either. And we're not going to lose. We're winning this game 4-0 going away. It will not be close. We will be up 3-0 at half. And the reason I say all that is Daniel Navarro. I think he plays the full 90. If not the full 90, if 75 to 80 minutes, depending on how big our lead is. And I think having that confidence behind them is going to allow Carrera Garcia to be more aggressive moving forward. It, as you mentioned earlier, Mr. Sparkle, he's not going to have to worry about the fact that Navarro and Mel don't know what they're doing on those over-the-top balls. And I think Cardona being on the wing is even another big part that we haven't really even talked about, is by not having to force him in the middle, it allows you to have him on the side that has their strongest offensive player. And I think he does well there. And then you put speed on the other side, whether it's Lombardi or DJ Benton. So all that to say, I think we win this going away, and I think it's a blowout, and I think it's 4-0. $2 beer night will be fun to experience that with, followed by the fireworks to celebrate that victory. That'll catapult us into a playoff position, based off of the other teams that are playing. There's a really good chance that we will be in a playoff position, based off of points per game after this weekend, which will make me super happy.
Well, Adam is the positive one, guys. Write this down. Adam is being Mr. Positive.
Yeah.
Get right with the Lord. Adam is being positive.
Oh, well done. All right, you guys got anything else for us?
I have nothing. There are meatballs downstairs begging me to come down.
Sounds
about
right.
Dinner.
All right, well, on that note.
Bye.
Don't forget, I have hot water and my toilet works. I don't know if I can get it to fit like the other way or not. No, it won't stay in the thing.
We're a family podcast, Jeff. Why are you doing this to me?
Comic cold. Oh, and there's our cold open.
Well.
Oh no, Pastor Jeff. Well done. Oh,
I'm talking about trying to make this stay still so I don't have to hold it the whole time. That's not helping.
Oh, so good. Oh.
All right. Well, let's get it over with. Just write it out and get it over with.
This is going to be outtakes at the end of the show, but man, it makes me so happy that I'd already hit the record button.
Oh, you already did?
Yeah. Oh, this makes me so happy. Wow.